Welcome to A Time of Hope. This morning we will highlight one of our Lent services from earlier this year. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. You are always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is at 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts, coffee, and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a nursery for your children. We would be so excited and happy to have you attend our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. This Sunday, we continue our new sermon series, Back to School. We will look at that looks at the book of James. We will spend the next 5 to 6 Sunday studying how we can become stronger, more effective disciples for Jesus. We will be in James 5, verses 13 through 20 to see that growing Christians pray. We'll look at some obstacles to a meaningful, powerful prayer life, as well as some key components and blessings that come from a meaningful, powerful prayer life. May God bless you with His peace and strength this week. Thank you for listening.
Come apart from the chaos a while and dwell in the presence of God, who is our source of being.
God calls us to renew ourselves and our life's purpose, and so we gather with others to worship and serve Him, who are searching and praying.
Let us worship in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first hymn, hymn number 336, There Is a Fountain. Let's pray together. O Lord God, You led Your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now so that following Your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life You alone can give, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our special music is by our guest choir from St. Paul's Evangelical Church in Jamestown.
Tonight, our lesson will be from Luke chapter 23 as we look through the seven sayings of Jesus. So we'll be looking at verses 40 through 43 this evening. It says, "But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Like I said, we are doing the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. Last Wednesday, we looked at Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. But why was Jesus crucified between two thieves? We see why in Isaiah 55:12. It says that he was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. It was prophesied over 700 years before how the Messiah would die for us. But there has to be more to it than that. It shows how far Jesus will go to save humanity. At his birth, he was surrounded by the beasts of the field, and now he is surrounded by the lowest of humanity. We deserve that death, not him. But it shows us the depth of his love and his sacrifice. Also, we see that there are two criminals on the crosses on either side of Jesus. One received Christ, one rejected him. We see the same thing today. The same sermon is preached. One remains unmoved while another will be moved by the Holy Spirit to respond to God's grace. This evening, we will concentrate on the words of both Jesus and the thief on the cross to teach us about God's grace. First, we see the repentance of the thief. He repented of his evil deeds. We see the story of the prodigal son in Luke, and there's a phrase in there about repentance. It says in Luke 15:17, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death.'" Just like the thief on the cross, he had hit the bottom and nowhere else to turn but his father. He recited his speech over and over again, I'm sure, as he headed back home. "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants.'" Paul writes the same thing in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame." He writes again to Timothy, "Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will." You know, that's what happened to the thief on the cross. We read in Matthew chapter 27, verses 38 and 44, that both criminals early on were hurling insults at Jesus when they were first nailed to their crosses. What changed the heart of the repentant criminal? What made him come to his senses? Had he heard what the women in the crowd were saying to them as they were marched through the streets of Jerusalem? Was it the sign above Jesus' head that named him as King of the Jews? Was it Jesus' statement of forgiveness when he was first nailed to the cross? Whatever it was, the thief came to his senses and realized he was lost and dying with no hope. Look at what he says to the other thief. He says, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." We see just like Jesus last Wednesday, the thief turned to prayer. Repentance is a very personal thing. It's a self-realization that I've failed, I have done wrong, and I'm dead inside without Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when you became convicted of the sin in your life before you made a decision for Jesus? I do. It took me a few years to act upon that conviction. He showed his belief by confessing Jesus as King. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Maybe it was a Hail Mary. Maybe he was saying to himself, "You know, it's worth a shot." It could be that, but I feel it was much more than that. There was no pretense anymore with this thief. Everything had been stripped away from him, literally. It's obvious who he is. He's a convicted and condemned criminal facing death in a matter of a few hours. But he took advantage of his one encounter with Jesus, and he wasn't going to waste it. You know, the thief could have stayed with his fellow criminal and the rest of the crowd, yelling curses and insults at Jesus, but the thief went against the crowd. He went against his pride. He could have been like the other criminal and stayed hard-hearted to the very end. I've met people like that, and I'm sure you have too. They have something against God. They've raised their fist at God and say, I've done it my way all my life, and I'm not changing now, no matter what. But the second thief, though, went against the crowd. Have you gone against the tide? Have you gone against the crowd because of your faith? When was the last time you made a faith decision that went against the crowd or those closest to you? It's tough, but the thief did it and he took a chance. Are you ready to go against the tide? I'm sure those below the cross could hear him as well as he yelled to his fellow criminal, but it didn't matter anymore. He wasn't going to miss this chance with the Son of God. How many encounters with Jesus have you missed or not taken advantage of? You may say to yourself, I've got time. I've got other things to do right now, but I'll get right with Jesus later when I have time and I'm not as busy as I am right now. But we never know the last time will be that we have time to be with Jesus. My grandpa Ed died early on the morning of April 24th, 1996. I'm the oldest grandchild on that side. I was the only grandchild for 5 years, so he spoiled me every time he could. If I wanted ice cream for breakfast, I got ice cream for breakfast. He took me to get my first haircut without my mom's approval. He bought me my first used car, a 72 Mustang. The last thing, though, he did on the night of April 23rd was to put my birthday card on the dining room table to mail the next day since my birthday was on April 30th. He had put $10 in it like he always did, but he never got a chance to mail it. And never got another chance to encounter Jesus because that night he had an aortic aneurysm and died before he could mail it the next day. And the very first thing that his wife gave to me when we went down there for the funeral was that card with a stamp on it. It took me a year before I opened it because I always felt like until it was delivered, Grandpa was still alive. But see, we need to take advantage of our encounters with Jesus to show repentance and confess him as King if we've not done that already. But the second thing that we see from the saying of Jesus on the cross is that we see the promise of Jesus. He says, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. See, Jesus gives the thief his promise. He says, truly I tell you. He says, this is my word, you can book it. What did the thief on the cross expect when he made his request of Jesus? Just remember me when you get into your kingdom. Leave me a ticket at the front door. Just recognize my face when you see me the next time. Put a good word in for me. But Jesus gave him much more than he could have ever expected. Paul tells us about what Jesus gives us is more than what we expect always. He says it in Ephesians. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. But there's three keys to that phrase. The first one is today. He gives three promises there. He says, today you will be with me. Forgiveness and acceptance would be immediate. He wasn't going to be on a waiting list for his name to be called. The thief wasn't going to wait and hope that he might be remembered. He wasn't going to be waiting in an area hopes his name gets called at the doctor's office. He's not going to be standing in the general admission tickets line at a ball game and hope the tickets don't run out before he gets to the ticket booth. Jesus didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say 3 to 5 business days. He said today. When his faithful ones die, they are immediately with Jesus. The second promise that he gives them there, gives to the thief there, is that he will be with me. He will be with Jesus. Not only was he not going to die alone a horrible death, he was going to be with Jesus, the man right next to him, going through the same painful death that he was. This is confirmed later in the writings of Paul. He says, I'm confident, he says, and would prefer to be away from the body and to be at home with the Lord. He talks about it again in Philippians chapter 1. He says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. And Revelation tells us about being with Jesus that there's no more crying, no more pain, no more mourning. He has prepared a place for the thief as well as for us. The third promise that he gives him in that one very short statement is that you're going to be with me today in paradise. That word in Greek means a park or a garden. It's used as well in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when Paul has his great vision. He says he was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one person is permitted to tell. Then John uses it in Revelation chapter 2. He says, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. We see the tree of life mentioned again in Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve them. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. It's not going to only happen today. He was not only going to be with Jesus, but he was going to be in paradise or heaven surrounded by all the other faithful saints from the past. Abraham, King David, Moses. And he was also going to be in the very presence of God himself. He was going to have God's name on his forehead. All he had to do was give up his pride, his sinful life, and claim Jesus for all of this. You know, the thief on the cross didn't know all the books of the Old Testament, probably. He probably didn't know the New Testament books like you guys did. All right, and still do, I hope. He didn't know all that he had asked for, but he had enough faith to be part of whatever Jesus was up to. The thief gave up the cross for a crown. He went from eternal separation from God to eternal life with Jesus and the Father. But you know, if anyone deserved to die, it was this criminal. If anyone was a loser, this guy would be at the top of the list. But why did Jesus choose to save him? He couldn't go back and tell anyone. His life was finished. He had no earthly use left in him. I could understand saving the Apostle Paul when he was called Saul on the road to Damascus. He wrote so many letters of the New Testament. And Paul wrote this about his own salvation. He says, even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. But here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. See, his life made a difference after Jesus forgave him, but this guy, what could the thief do? But see, that's just it. Listen closely to what Max Lucado says in his book, No Wonder They Call Him Savior. He said, Jesus' love does not depend on what we do for him, not at all. In the eyes of the King, you have value simply because you are. You don't have to look nice or perform well. Your value is inborn, period. Think about that for just a minute. You are valuable just because you exist, not because of what you do or what you've done, but simply because you are. All of us are valuable to Jesus, no matter what our status or our past failings. What unlocked God's grace to this criminal? All he said was, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But he called Jesus by name. He showed repentance, and he put his faith in him as the King, and Jesus gave him the promise of eternity. Have you called Jesus by name? No matter what has happened in your life, you are valuable, and Jesus wants to spend eternity with you. Our hymn this evening is hymn number 161, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Father, it's been good to be together. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the recording of what Jesus said on the cross. Father, we look at a gentleman that had no earthly value anymore. He had lived an evil life, but he took advantage of his one chance when he saw the message of grace and hope through Jesus. I pray, Father, that we've taken advantage of those encounters, that we strengthen ourselves through those encounters. But if we've never made that decision, I pray, Father, that we follow the example of the thief on the cross. Claim Jesus as our Savior, repent of our past, and take hope in the future and the promises that Christ gives us. Father, thank you for Martin, and thank you for Jackson and their statements of faith and just the work that they've done. And I pray, Father, that they'll grow in their faith and in their knowledge. Thank you for their families that are here this evening to support them, that have encouraged them with their walk so far, and will encourage them for the future. Father, thank you for our church here and the legacy and the history of raising up young people in your way and in your scripture. Give us a safe trip home and help us, Father, to enjoy your presence each and every day. We ask this all in your name. Amen.
We close our program with special music by our church men's group, our church brotherhood, Before the Cross of Jesus.